Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Justin Fields just got a vote of confidence from a big-time dude. We'll let you hear from that guy coming up in a couple of minutes. Back to last night's game, Monday Night Football, just for a second, Doran. The A.J. Epenesa roughing the passer call was just egregiously bad. And we see it every single week. There were illegal formation penalties. The roughing the passer, as I mentioned. The ineligible man downfield stuff. Defensive pass interference calls that really could have gone either way. All told, the teams combined for 22 penalties for 204 yards. And I feel like we can have this conversation after every single standalone game. But at what point is enough going to be enough? Like, this is your showcase. This is a game that a lot of people wanted to watch. One of the AFC's best in Buffalo. And then the whole Rodgers-Jets debacle story, which is like a car wreck you can't look away from. And you come out of it, and those are storylines, big storylines. The biggest storyline, I think, is the officiating.
Yeah,
I don't know where it goes. It's not getting any better. I thought it might be a first month kind of deal. Here we are halfway through October, 6 weeks into the NFL season, and we've got bad officiating again.
Well, I wrestle with this because I want to blame the officials that are on the field, but I have to blame the rules that are being put in place that they have to follow.
Yes.
Like, that's just kind of what it comes down to. It really starts up top of, you know, who's making these rules, obviously the NFL, and these officials having to follow code. Like, it's like, all right, this is what it says, and this is what we have to do. I don't think the officials really want to throw the flags all the time, because then you're a center of attention, and then now, you know, nowadays you'll be exposed. Like, you know, 10, 15 years ago, like, okay, you'd be mad at officials, and then you go into the next game. Now, I mean, you're exposed. Like, there's a lot of eyes on you. There's social media, all this stuff. So I don't think the officials really want to make themselves the forefront of each game. It's just them having to follow the code of what the rules are. And that starts with Goodell and the NFL of, like, having to literally go in this offseason and having serious discussions of the continuity of games and what people are really trying to get out of it. But then there's the other side of, well, we know these people are just going to show up and watch anyways. Like, it doesn't matter.
That's exactly where I was about to go with this. I think everything you said, bang, you nailed right on the head. We can sit here and we can blame the officials in-game. They've got such a problem with the rule book. It's incredibly convoluted. For a long time, it was what's a catch, what's not a catch. I think we've kind of figured that all out. But what's roughing the passer, what's not roughing the passer? And I don't think it's easy to interpret in the rule book. And so the officials are just throwing flags because they don't want to not throw the flag. They don't want to get in trouble for erring on the side of not player safety. But to your point about viewership, through week five, I haven't seen numbers through week six, but through week five, 17.5 million average viewers per game.
Wow.
Highest average through week five since 2015. And the NFL ranks 29 of the top 30 shows on TV since the start of the 2024 NFL season. People are going to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's really no reason for the NFL, in their minds, to change any of it. And they think that this helps keep players healthy. I'm not buying it. We had goofy rules last year, too, with roughing the passer, and how many backup and third-string quarterbacks were we watching every single week? There is no proof that the rules to protect quarterbacks within the pocket are actually doing what they're designed to do, which is to protect quarterbacks in the pocket. And I look at college football. I don't blame refs when they throw flags for targeting or anything like that. I don't think they know what they're calling. And we see a lot of the same stuff in the NFL.
I mean, if you're throwing the flag, then it's egregious. So quarterbacks are going to get hit regardless. So you're not really protecting and, you know, guarding from injury.
I don't know if it was Starkey who tweeted this last night, or a friend of the program, friend in real life, Dave Damashek, who's a very astute and smart football mind. He said, if you're going to get the flag thrown on you for ticky-tack stuff, you might as well get your money's worth.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But, you get hit in the pocket, but yeah.
Just crush him.
Yeah.
If you're getting flagged for, you landed with your weight on the quarterback, like this A.J. Epenesa one last night, which I thought was criminal that they called that roughing the passer, then you might as well just try to take Aaron Rodgers' head off.
Well, I mean, the fine probably goes to another level.
That's true.
You know, like, okay, like you landed on them, you got a flag, you can appeal it, and you probably will get your money back. But if you put your helmet and your crown of your helmet right underneath Aaron Rodgers' chin strap, like, you're catching a $50,000 fine.
Yeah. So it's easy to say, oh, well, forget about the flag, but not as easy when you're talking about the wallets of the players. Yeah. That's a good point by you. Yeah. I look at the Justin Fields interception, the Diablo one.
Right, I didn't.
We just call it like we see it, man. Mm-hmm. No one on either fan base would have batted an eye if they didn't call that roughing the passer. Not one person would have gone, hey, wait a second now, that should be roughing. No, it's not.
See, I have a bigger issue in college. I think we've talked about this before.
The targeting,
than I do NFL officiating. Because, I mean, you're getting suspended for a half or a game. Like, these are young players trying to, you know, put their good stuff on film. Like, maybe make a bigger penalty. Like, why can't there be a larger penalty? Like, okay, instead of 15 yards, it's 25 yards if it's targeting. But don't kick a player out of the game.
I think you, in this, maybe I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth here because I talk about how it's convoluted. But I do think there has to be intent if you're going to toss a player out of a game.
Right.
Like, if, like the kid for Florida State against Pitt last year.
Yes.
Who jumped and it looked like he was trying to head a soccer ball into a goal. Okay, toss that guy.
Right.
Because he's trying to hit him in the head. But when you've got a player who catches the football and their head is lowering, their target is lowering, and you've got a player flying in like a missile trying to hit a dude in the midsection, and the offensive player lowers himself into a position where his head then goes into the direct line, you shouldn't be tossing guys out of the game for that.
No.
Like, you need to judge intent. Now, that does make it murky, but I'd like for them to at least be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But you toss guys for incidental contact with the head, and then you're right. If it's in the second half, you can't play the next game?
Right.
For a college kid? Come on now.
What if it's your best player, your best safety, or your best linebacker? Like, you rely on those players more in college. I mean, going into the next game could be a huge game. Say it's like Pitt is playing, I don't know.
Clemson.
Like Clemson, right, exactly.
Yeah, and your best inside linebacker's out because some receiver over the middle of the field lowered himself into a more of a dangerous position.
Ridiculous.
I'm okay with any hit to the head being a 15-yard penalty. Fair enough. You want to get that stuff out of the game, do the best you can to get it out of the game. Fine. Fair enough. But just tossing guys? So it really is at the two highest levels of football. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of nonsense. Plus, the illegal man downfield is terribly officiated at both levels. Miami, when they beat Cal, had a lineman 5 yards down the field on the game-winning score. Meanwhile, you watched the game last night, and, you know, it's 1 yard,
mm-hmm.
and you're running RPO kind of 1 yard, and you're calling it letter of the law 1 yard. It makes for an unwatchable game. 22 penalties, 204 yards. I don't want to stay up to watch that.
No.
It's as bad as the weather delay.
Mm-hmm. Like, you're making the games longer, and you lose interest. You lose, you know, some engagement.
The one thing they got right is now when you have the command center be able to call in and say, hey, this was
the assist.
The assist.
Right.
That's a big deal. It happened in the Pitt game.
Yes.
That's a fumble. Clearly not. Clearly an incomplete pass. And instead of having to get under the hood, at least they've cut down on that. For the obvious and egregious calls. I don't even have a question to build a topic off of. Like, I'd like to say, do you find the NFL to be unwatchable? People would call it, yeah. Oh, it's a bad product. Fair enough. 17.5 million people watching a game. We ain't turning it off.
Nope.
No one's ever going to turn it off.
They need to go back with the kickoff rule, though.
Oh, you don't like the new rule?
I mean, I don't know.
Also convoluted.
Just get rid of the kickoffs. What's the point? It's not like kickers are not going to have a job. They'll still be able to kick field goals. What's the point? Just start at the 20.
I think I'm okay with figuring it out for the rest of the season. The numbers haven't been like drastically different. I think it's 30% have been returned as compared to 23% last year. We did see a touchdown in one of the games last week that was in prime time.
Yes.
Can't remember which one. Doesn't matter. I think as the weather gets colder, we're going to see more and more returns. I'd give it the year. But if it's only a 7% difference at the end of the year, I might be with you. Especially if you preach player safety. If you're getting more returns, we've made it safer. You can't. You can't. If you are returning more balls,
there's more risk for injury.
Yes. Yeah. The whole thing is silly. Give us a ring on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. I said we'd let you hear from somebody who's now in the Justin Fields camp. Well, we wanted to get mad about officiating. So coming up next, big time dude says, no, you can't sit Justin Fields. Who? We'll react when we come back. You can text us, brought to you by Eggersteiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you.
Yeah, it seemed a little ridiculous. Yeah, some of them seemed really bad, including the roughing the passer on me. That's not roughing the passer. Might as well play sarcastic ball if we're going to call those things. And I thought the one on Kinlaw was not roughing the passer either.
How about that? Rodgers saying a hit that he took was not roughing the passer. That's what it's going to take. That right there. From marquee stars of the sport. If you want it to change, it's got to come from within. Because as we talked chapter and verse in the last segment, fans aren't going to stop watching just because the product is worse. How do I want to say this without getting someone that I love in trouble here? I don't know that I can, but I'm going to try. So I have a friend who works at a manufacturing plant, and they have a certain standard for a food product that they make that you already know, that they need it to pass a certain taste threshold, right? And what they do is they basically water their product down to a point where it costs as little as possible, but still tastes the same.
Mm-hmm.
Or as close to the same as where it could be passed off for your regular layman individual.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the NFL is doing. The product has been watered down, lessened, but still passable enough that we're going to consume it the same way. If it's going to change, long way of me saying this, guys like Rodgers, guys like Russell Wilson, if and when he plays, guys like Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, name the superstars, they need to be the ones that come out and criticize the officiating, because if they don't, we got no prayer of it changing. And it might not change anyhow, but I actually liked that from Rodgers yesterday. Hey, AJ Epinesa, he hit me. He hit me, and that's not a flag.
I don't think enough guys will come forward.
I don't think so
either. Because it benefits, and especially Rodgers is an old school quarterback. So it's like, if I'm Mahomes, if I'm Kyler Murray, if I am the kid out of tennis or kid out of the Texans, CJ Stroud, if I'm some of these young quarterbacks, like, all right, Aaron, you're going to be gone in like 2-3 years. Like, we're going to have to play for 10 years. We want it to be our way. I don't see any of those guys really stepping up and saying, oh yeah, like the rules need to change, even if it doesn't benefit me. Like, they don't know any other game. They only know this game. Rodgers knows the other game.
No, you're right about that. And Stroud's also playing on a rookie deal, and Jaden Daniels, guys like that, you're less willing to speak up because you're going to have to eat a fine. It is incumbent upon...
And also money, too. Like, I mean, they have to, like, if they get hurt, like, Rodgers already made his money.
Right.
He can say that stuff. You know, he's going to be done.
So you think the majority of quarterbacks, probably the new school ones, probably like it the way that it is now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They're protected. And receivers going across the middle. Like, I mean, that's all they know, too. They don't know.
The receivers have to love it.
They don't know any other game.
Texter, I thought roughing the passer was supposed to be reviewable this year. That's not the answer. Not the answer. More replay, not the answer. I have no faith they're going to get it right. All it's going to do is slog these games down even more.
Right.
Another text, and this is from Smithers. We love Smithers. He's one of our biggest listeners. He says, we need more calls on the offensive player carrying the ball, lowering his helmet into a defense, which happens damn near every play. No, we don't.
Nope.
No, we don't need more. We do not need more flags. The answer is not call more penalties, review more things. I don't know a lot about anything. I know that is not the answer. Either of those. All right, digress. 412-928-9370. It's the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. And you can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Ben Roethlisberger, I think he liked it the old way. He weighed in on Fields v. Russ.
I thought Justin actually played.
On the Footballin' podcast.
I thought Justin actually played a good game. He went on some spurts there where he had a couple bad throws in a row. But all in all, I would absolutely not even think about taking him out of the game right now. I would keep him in there. And even if he has a bad game, I would keep him in there because right now they're rolling. Yeah, they lost two. They got this win. But I think he's playing well enough. You know, I think he's doing enough. You saw with his legs especially, making things happen, creating. And not necessarily this time wasn't design quarterback runs. It was him extending a play, stepping up in the pocket, and just keeping the play alive. So I thought he played well. It's good to know what you have at the backup, and Russ is there if you need him. I just think what you're going to get from Russ is more pocket presence to throw the ball down the field, but you're not going to get that extend the play like Justin does because he's a running back there when he decides to run. He's a really, really talented runner as well.
I think he's just scratching the surface with the running stuff too. I think this was the first week where you went, wowza, and that's for a guy who has 5 rushing touchdowns. I don't think we've yet seen him get to warp speed in the open field. I mean, he can take 170 yards.
Yeah.
That's coming.
He's done it a bunch of times.
Yes. Chicago rushed for 1,000 yards. Right. 1,000 yards. Now, I don't think they want him doing it every play. They want to have a threat in the passing game, but I think there's more meat on that bone too, Doran. But just hearing Ben there, Tomlin after the game said, winning is our business, football is our game, but winning is our business. I can see why Ben loved that game from Justin Fields. Wasn't all working for him, gutted through it, made winning plays at winning time. That's what Ben did a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like Ben with the Killer Bees and later in his career, he put up all kind of numbers, stats. 05 through about 2010, defense would do enough. He'd play ugly football. They'd have bad offensive performances, and he would just make the third down play that would break a defense's back, or he'd make the red zone play or the fourth quarter play. That's what Ben loves and respects, and he sees that in Justin Fields, and I see it too.
Like, I want to think that Arthur Smith has something more up his sleeve, and I do with Justin Fields, but I just feel that he might put himself in harm. Like, I feel like this might organically work out. And I don't like saying that because I don't like injuries, obviously. Yeah. But the more and more he does run, the more and more he takes some licks now. I mean, he takes a beating. He's a big guy. He's a bigger guy, bigger than he looks on the field. He's 6'3", 225. He's a big kid. But I think that the more and more that they do incorporate it, and I know Arthur's been probably wrestling with this, it's like, okay, like we want to run and use his legs. The more and more he's out there, the more and more he's going to take shots, and the more and more Russell Wilson is going to inch forward. And I think that after a while, I mean, that's a long season.
I think they're weirdly comfortable with that.
I think you're right. I think now.
Yeah. Now that Russ is healthy.
Yeah.
I think they're weirdly comfortable with it. I wonder if Tomlin does name Fields the guy today, and he should have to name somebody for God's sakes today because Russ is healthy. If it's Fields, I wonder if they do start incorporating more, if we do see more read option stuff, not just in the red zone, because that's where we're seeing the vast majority of it. I wonder if things start to change overall with the offense if they name Fields the starter.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, okay, you're our guy now. Now we need to build this offense up around
you.
Well,
why not just do that from the jump?
I know. I know.
Let's play a game here.
I want to play a game.
You're Justin Fields. And say today Mike Tomlin says that Russell Wilson is the starter. And you know that this is your year that you had to prove yourself for not just the Steelers, but other NFL teams that you are a quarterback that should get paid. And, you know, you think you're a starter. Would you? And we were just talking about this, about having this guy on the show. Would you go to Arthur Smith and Mike Tomlin and be like, I want to be a slash? Like, full, I'm not just saying like package plays. Like, I want to play. I mean, I rush for 1,000 yards in the league. I'm one of the best athletes on the field every single game. Like, would you put your pride aside of playing just quarterback to just be on the field and get the ball?
I'd ask for whatever I can to be part of this thing. Like, bare minimum, you got to have packages for the guy. Like, we've talked about this ad nauseum. this offense has problems. I think there's room for growth. I'm cautiously optimistic about that growth. But this offense to this point has had problems. He has not been their biggest problem. He's been probably, no, definitely, he's been their biggest triumph this year.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think Russell Wilson can be better than the thing that's been the best part of your offense, fair enough. You can make the argument, fine, fair enough. Justin Fields still needs to be part of it going forward. And at bare minimum, that might mean some red zone stuff, some third and short stuff, maybe just thoughtfully non-rhythmic Tomlin, middle of the field, second quarter, you need a spark, he comes in for a series. You need to incorporate him. And if that means being goofy and throwing some reverses and stuff in there and Fields passes out of the slot, stuff like, I'm full on board. And if I'm Fields, I'm asking to be part of this.
Would you?
Thing. Yeah, for sure.
Because a lot of those quarterbacks, I mean, even nowadays, like I'm a quarterback. And I don't want to play anything else. I mean, you know how it is now. I mean, even Lamar Jackson wouldn't run his 40 at his pro day or the combine because he didn't want to risk being moved to receiver or moved as an athlete. I just wonder if he would do that.
It's not like it hasn't been done. I mean, you referenced Cordell, who I really want to try to get on the show here because I think he'd be perfect for all this. Taysom Hill's doing it.
Yes.
And okay, he offers some things. He's not the passer that Fields is. He's not the athlete that Fields is. And we're not talking about special teams for Fields. We're talking about being ineligible.
Right.
And making plays from the line of scrimmage. Yeah, I would absolutely have that conversation. Because they don't trust him enough to audible out of stuff, whatever. But through six games, has he not earned the right to at least be on the field?
Yes.
I think so, too.
You need him to.
Yes.
You need him.
Well, that's why I ain't benching him for Russ. But if they do, he can't be on the bench. He's got to be an active portion of the game plan every single week. Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Who do you think Mike Tomlin will name the starter today? You can vote at _ Adam Crowley. Coming up next, there's so much going on around the NFL. I want to get to so much going on around college football. Let's spend about a half hour here just hitting on all the biggest storylines from ball this weekend. Someone texts in, do you make stuff up just to do so? Taysom Hill is just as good or a better athlete than Fields is. He's faster. Played safety at Stanford because Luck was quarterback. You're funny. Taysom Hill played 6 years of college at BYU.
BYU, yeah.
So you make stuff up just to do so, or what? Yeah,
just to text in.
He did commit to Stanford, then decided he wanted to go on a mission. So then after his mission, found out he couldn't enroll at Stanford officially until like late June. Didn't want to do that. Decided to go to BYU where he could play quarterback. Played quarterback, so not quite sure what we're doing there. I've probably spent too much time on this tweeter. Let's go around the league. Brought to you by Champ Tires, all brands in every size. Was it the Devontae Adams Bowl last night, Doran, or is it the Devontae Adams Bowl this Sunday night at Acrisure Stadium?
I think it might be this Sunday night.
Okay. So I watch Rodgers, you watch Rodgers. We all see what he can still do, and he can still sling it. And he can sling it better than either of these Steelers quarterbacks, whomever it might be on Sunday night. We can agree on that?
Yes.
Yeah. I've seen enough out of Rodgers to think he's not washed. If I watch that game and I'm Devontae Adams last night, I see a team drop to 2-4. That would make me go, I don't know. I want to be a playoff guy. But I see Rodgers. I feel like I can make him a playoff guy. Now, if they drop to 2-5, it might be a different story.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather play with my guy that I know who can still rip the thing. But if the Steelers are 5-2... and the Jets are 2-5 after Sunday night, even playing with my buddy is not going to be able to make me feel great, make up the difference. So, to the victor go the spoils? Maybe? ...
I think it would for me, it would be how long and how much of my contract a team would take. Like, if the Jets are willing to take on, what, the next 2-3 years, like, I'll be with Rodgers next year, too. And this year we can kind of get back on the same page, and then next year we can kind of hit the ground running. So I think that if I'm a rental, I might just want to go somewhere else. But if I am going to be long-term, I want to be with a guy that I know, if that makes sense.
I think it's going to wind up being the rental thing, though. I think it's so hard to manipulate stuff in season. Not impossible. We've seen it before, but I do think it's hard. If I'm Adams and I take the records out of it, I'm going to New York, no questions asked.
Yep.
And if I'm the Jets, I'm trying to get it done this week before we fall to 2-5,
yep,
potentially. Now, this just in, Jets a 1-point favorite on the road. Sunday night ball at Acrisure Stadium. Did you see the Ravens fan?
I did.
So I'm sure a lot of the people listening to this show, if you're on social media, you've seen the video of a guy wearing a Lamar Jackson jersey just running around the streets of Baltimore looking to fight people, punches two Washington football team fans in the face, knocking one guy, it appeared, out cold, and it looked like he was just running around looking for people wearing the other jersey. He could be facing 8 years in prison, should lose his job, guessing that that's happened.
Yep.
What an ass.
Oh, ridiculous.
Those are the worst people going. Is, oh, I'm going to punch a guy just to punch a guy. That guy's got issues, man. And it made me sick.
Yeah. I mean, and then you got to worry about going to games. And then we see this more and more, I feel like, as the weeks go on. Not just like people suck, but people fighting in the stands. And just like they're just taking these games and just, oh, man, it's awful. Like,
makes me not want to go.
Right. It makes me not want to go or take your family to games.
Yes.
It's ridiculous.
There is a section at Milan Puskás Stadium in Morgantown, section 133. It's called the Family Zone. No alcohol and no profanity. And it's honestly sad that we got to this point. Oh, we got one section dedicated to no nonsense. So basically announcing for the world, there's one section that this is going to be clean. Everything else, no. My daughter's 5. I haven't even considered taking her to an NFL or college football game because of the stuff you're going to hear. Like, and I don't know when it's going to happen. And when you got guys like that running around, ridiculous. Like, that could have happened to anybody. He could have punched anybody in the face.
Yep.
That could have been me. That probably wouldn't have been you. Don't know if he would have challenged you, but you know what I'm saying. Like, he just can't feel safe going to football games. One college note, we'll go around the NFL a little bit more and college football coming up in the next segment. Cam Rising, quarterback for Utah. He's hurt again. Kyle Whittingham, the head coach, comes out and says he's eligible for a medical red shirt. We're going to have to ask him if that's what he wants to do. We'd be open to it. So if he medically redshirts and comes back next year, it'll be his 8th season of eligibility in college.
That's insane.
8 seasons. He's 25. He will be 26 in May. What are we doing here?
Ridiculous. And you know that he's going to come back because the business out there is going to give him some NIL money that he will absolutely take, because he's not going to be an NFL quarterback at this point.
No, he's not an NFL guy. So I don't even blame him. Hey, if he wants to come back, if they're going to allow it, I'd come back. Sure. Mm-hmm. Heck yeah. Someone gives me $250,000 to take a couple pictures sitting in their Tahoe. Like, okay, yeah, I'm down for that. And maybe I'll get hurt again and I'll cash in for year number 10. Who's to say I won't be around for year number 10? It just, that's not college football to me.
No.
It's not. Alan Bowman, the quarterback for Oklahoma State, is in year 7. This guy's going to be legitimately eligible for, or illegitimately eligible for year number 8. It's
8 years older than probably his teammates. Some of his teammates.
Freshmen. Yes.
The freshmen.
There's a kid for Bama who's 17 who made a play in the Georgia game who's like one of the best players in the country already, but he's 17 years old. He can't buy cigarettes. He can't serve in the military. He's 17. Can't buy a porno mag at the street corner. We still doing that these days?
Nah.
Internet.
Yeah.
Cam Rising, he can rent a car. I was married at 25. It's crazy.
He can't be on his parents' insurance.
No, he's off.
He's off.
He's off. Maybe they can cover his cell phone bill. 8 years, it, to me, man, is like, that's not college.
Nope.
We saw Brandon Weeden. He came out in the NFL draft at 28 years old, and that was just Browns being Brown stuff. Let's draft a guy in the first round who's 28 years old.
Wow.
Ridiculous. All right. More around the NFL when we come back. And we've got an interesting, I think, series of hypotheticals coming your way at 9 o'clock. Jason Luckon for at 9:35. Coming up, top of the hour-ish. Play a little game of Steelers What If, Doran?
Mm-hmm.
Little game. Pat McAfee just tweeted, holy bleep, and then 3 sets of eyeball emojis. And now I am curious. Are the Lions trying to get a pass rusher in to replace Aiden Hutchinson? Has Devontae Adams been traded? Has Neil Brown been fired? Is it something wrestling related that we have no idea about, but could be incoming? Just get that on everybody's radar. Speaking of college football and Neil Brown, boy, did he embarrass himself yesterday in his press conference. You and I have talked about this off the air. One of the things that I think has made Pat Narduzzi so successful here is he understands Pittsburgh. He's from Youngstown. He knows you got to play hard-nosed defense. He knows you got to hold your players accountable. He's got this tough guy persona. And this year he changed his stripes, and I think he's been more aggressive, which I think Pittsburgh fans love, and the defense has come along. One of the reasons Pat Narduzzi has been here for as long as he's been is because he gets the fabric of being the University of Pittsburgh's head coach. I don't know if that's ever been the case with Neil Brown. And yesterday in his press conference, he was asked, you just had one primetime game against a top 15 opponent. You've got another one coming up this weekend. What would you say to fans to get them to come out again after watching that product? And he said this.
I'm not on social media. I get that they want to win. But what I would say is, did they have a good time? You know what I mean? Like,
Body.
Did they enjoy it? It was pretty good atmosphere. You know, I'm assuming they had probably had a pretty good time tailgating.
Oh my
Are
God!
You serious?
Is he the event coordinator from Island Pushkar Stadium?
Oh my goodness!
If Mike Tomlin said that after a Steelers loss, after the Cowboys game, hey, what would you say about people if they want to come to the Jets game? Did you have a good time? Weather looks like it'll be better than this delay. Tailgating will be fun. We got great bars on the North Shore. Why don't you head on over to Mike's Beer Bar? The tailgate scene is going to be the tailgate scene. Football games should be, we just talked about why they might not be in the last segment, should be fun. You know what's fun? Winning.
Winning. I can't believe you said that.
You know who got it? Who went 3-9 last year? And then is now bowl eligible through 6 weeks? Is Pat Narduzzi, Doran? Pat Narduzzi didn't say, hey, Panther Pit's great. Oh, we were 3-9, but did you guys get a Panther painted on your face?
Right.
Like,
oh my gosh, I can't believe he said that.
It's a really simple thing he could have said. And I'm not bringing this up because it's West Virginia. I'm sure people, you know, don't care, but it's one of the dumber things I've ever heard a coach say.
Yep.
And a lack of reading the room. What he should have said is, we're 2-1 in the conference. All of our goals are still in front of us. We've got a great opportunity to atone this week, and we'll need the place rocking to help us do so.
You know what he's going to do. He's going to win enough games to be around next year. That's what's going to happen to you
guys. Of course he is. I've never heard a coach say the quiet thing out loud the way he just did.
Wow.
And it's laughable. And you look down the road again at the University of Pittsburgh, and when Pat Narduzzi's team doesn't win, he's not trying to sell some bill of goods that's not there. Oh my God. Like, we're not dumb. You might think we're dumb. We ain't dumb. And the fan base deserves so much more. All right, coming up next, a game of Steelers What If, Doran. I'm expecting your best, but if you don't do a good job, well, at least we'll have fun.
Yes.
If the rest of the show blows ass, at least we're going to have fun doing it.
Correct.
My God. 50-minute mark on the fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills.